ಸುಪ್ರಭಾತಂ. ಯೋಗಸೂತ್ರ ಪರಿಚಯ ವರ್ಗಸ್ಯ ಏಷಃ ಪಂಚಮಃ ಪಾಠಃ. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಫಿಫ್ತ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಯೋಗಸೂತ್ರ ಪರಿಚಯ. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಮಂಗಲ ಶ್ಲೋಕ, ದ ಇನ್ವೊಕೇಶನ್. ಯೋಗೇನ ಚಿತ್ತಸ್ಯ ಪದೇನ ವಾಚಾಂ ಮಲಂ ಶರೀರಸ್ಯ ಚ ವೈದ್ಯಕೇನ ಯೋಪಾಕರೋತ್ತಂ ಪ್ರಭರಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ಪತಂಜಲಿಂ ಪ್ರಾಂಜಲಿರಾನತೋಸ್ಮಿ. ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರಿವಿಯಸ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಸೀನ್ the general introduction, the philosophical basis, and we started discussing the ideas that are present in the Yoga Sutras gradually. And the system that we are following here is that we are considering clusters of sutras together. As this is a parichaya, an introductory course, we are not going deep into each of the sutra, but sutras are being introduced in clusters, meaningful units. So that is the method that we are following in this particular course. So in the previous class, we covered the second set of sutras, second unit of the first pada, which spans from the fourth sutra to the 16th sutra. There we discussed two concepts. One is chitta vrittayaha. Yoga was defined as chitta vritti nirodha. So chitta vritti and nirodha, these two concepts fall under the span of sutras 4 and 16. The chitta vrittis we saw have been classified into two ways, fivefold classification and a twofold classification. The twofold classification brings out the nature of the chitta vrittis, why they are to be restricted, because they are full of kleshas. Klishta aklishtaha chitta vrittayaha. Some vrittis are klishtas and the other vrittis are aklishtas. Klishtas, that those chitta vrittis, those activities of the mind which cause suffering, affliction, pain, distress, all those things. So they are klishta chitta vrittis. And aklishta chitta vrittis, those activities of the mind which are produced by practicing the tools of the methods of yoga, they are aklishta chitta vrittis. Both these have to be transcended. At the first stage, the volume of klishta chitta vrittis have to be brought down with the help of aklishta chitta vrittis, and then finally, by higher practice of yoga, by deeper focusing, by deeper meditation, even those aklishta chitta vrittis are to be overcome, because chitta vrittis, the activities of the mind, always are interconnected, and hence even in the midst of aklishta chitta vrittis there is a possibility of Klishta Chittavrittis raising their hood. And hence, Yoga Sutras in Vyasabhashya, it says that Klishta Chidreshu Aklishtaha, Aklishta Chidreshu Klishtaha, which means that even when there are only Aklishta Chittavrittis, pure Chittavrittis, Sattvika state of mind, even when we are in Sattvik state of mind, it also has Chidra, that is holes, gaps. So in those gaps, in those pockets, sometimes this Klishtas, those Chittavrittis that cause suffering, they may be lurking in those holes, in those gaps between Aklishta Chittavrittis. They may be hiding in the form of past impressions. And hence, it is always prescribed not to stop at the level of Sattvika state of mind, but even going beyond that, making the mind absolutely silent. So that is why the twofold classification of Chittavritti has been shown, Klishta and Aklishta. And then a fivefold classification of Chittavrittis were also presented. Pramana, Viparyaya, Vikalpa, Nidra and Smriti. Pramana is the right knowledge arising out of direct perception through senses, and inferences, Anumana, and then Agama. Agama, verbal testimony, both of the Vedas, and the Apta, or the close, whomever we trust. So, these are the sources of Pramana, true knowledge, authentic knowledge, Viparyaya, wrong knowledge, wrong perception, because of the defect in perception, defect in the instruments of perception, wrong knowledge arises. Vikalpa, imaginative knowledge, which don't have corresponding objects in the world outside. That is imagination. That is vikalpa. Nidra is sleep. Sushupti, deep sleep, and Smriti, memory. So, these are the five types of Chittavrittis, which are both Klishta and Aklishta, which both cause suffering and which are also Sattvic. Depending upon how a yogi trains his mind, these five kinds of Chittavrittis can either be Klishta or Aklishta. So, the Chittavrittis were presented as one subject in the second unit of the first chapter, and Nirodha Upayau, the methods to restrict and to gradually to totally cease the or totally stop those Chittavrittis, that were discussed as Nirodha Upaya, under Nirodha Upaya. As rightly pointed out, again, the span of the sutras here is 5 to 16. Thank you, Mr. Paul. So, the span of the sutras here is 5 to 16 and not 4 to 16. Okay. So, Nirodha, Chittavritti Nirodha, the restriction and the stoppage of the Chittavrittis. So, the prime or the principal methods preferred by Patanjali for Chittavritti Nirodha is Abhyasa and Vairagya. And Abhyasa, as I mentioned in the previous class, Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagyena cha Grihyate. It is found in the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter 35, verse 35. So that reference was missing in the previous class. So in this is found in chapter 6, verse 35. Okay. So Patanjali accepts the views of Krishna and gives them a prime position in Chitta Vritti Nirodha. And what is Abhyasa? Nishchala Sthitau Yatnaha or Nishchala Sthityartham Yatnaha. So Abhyasa is making the mind still, Nishchala, that is reducing the vibrations, fluctuations, and keeping it steady. Keeping it steady, being focused on one object at the initial stages, and later making it in a vrittiless state. That is Nishchala. There are two levels in Nishchalata also. Steady state of mind. And all the efforts that are put in to keep the mind in focused and in a very steady manner, that is Abhyasa. And of course, how this Abhyasa has to be done, that was also presented. Virghakala Nairantarya Satkara Asevito Dridabhumihi. The Abhyasa becomes very strong, very efficient when it is practiced for Dirghakala, for a long period, not a month or 2 months, years together. It even takes births together, lives together, to make it very strong. Nairantarya, and there should be regularity in practice, and Satkara, a sense of deep faith, a deep conviction that this practice of yoga is my savior or is the one which can uplift me. So that makes that adds the real value. Of course, this Satkara will be discussed as Shraddha later, which is essential for us to have to progress in this path of yoga. So Abhyasa needs to be done for long time, regularly, and with a sense of faith that this can uplift me. This practice that I am involved in can uplift me. That is Abhyasa. And then Vairagya. And Abhyasa should be efficiently supported by Vairagya. Vitrishnatvam. Detachment. Lack of interest in both the worldly enjoyment and also desires to attain Swarga and other higher worlds of pleasure. Detachment, Vitrishnatvam, lack of thirst in those objects of pleasure of this world, Ihaloka and Paraloka. And that Vairagya was also divided into two types, Paravairagya and Aparavairagya. Aparavairagya is the lower Vairagya, and Paravairagya is the higher Vairagya. Aparavairagya is the one which is a sense of detachment from all the worldly pleasures and other things. And Paravairagya, I think I mentioned about this. Vairagya about the operations of the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. So as a yogi reaches excellence in apara vairagya, lower vairagya, he starts perceiving the actions of the gunas, how the gunas operate. He can have a direct understanding of it, and he should transcend that also. So that is Paravairagya. And that Paravairagya is the tool which will lead a person to the highest state of Asampragnata Yoga. We will see it later. So this is the summary of the previous class. Now we will move into the third unit of the first chapter. And the first chapter is called as Samadhipada. And here begins the discussion on Samadhi, and two of its classification is presented in the third unit. So, this sutra, the ideas on this range between 17, sutra 17 to 22. And yes, so now a yogi who has a very good proficiency in Adhyasa and Vairagya reaches Samadhi. So Adhyasa and Vairagya are prerequisites for Samadhi, and he reaches Samadhi state. So again, this Samadhi is also divided into various states, the higher states of mind. Samadhi, Samyak Adhiyate Chittam Asmin. The mind is placed well in this. So the focus and the stability of the mind is what is understood from the word Samadhi. Of course, we will have definition of Samadhi in the second chapter, very clear definition. The general meaning of the word, going by the etymology of the word, is the stable state of mind, fixing the mind in whatever object that we take up for meditation. So that is the general sense of the term Samadhi, and the higher aspects of it will be presented here. The initial division of Samadhi that is presented by Patanjali are Sampragnata and Asampragnata Samadhis. Now, Sampragnata Samyak Prajnayate Vedyam Vastu Yasmin Saha Sampragnata Samadhi. That state, that yogic higher state of mind, where Samyak Prajnayate, the object that is taken up for meditation, is directly and clearly perceived, that is Sampragnata Samadhi. So any object that is taken up for meditation is very clearly perceived in Sampragnata Samadhi. And hence this Sampragnata Samadhi is also called as Salambana Samadhi. Saalambana. Some support, some external support in the way of some object of meditation is required for this initial state of Samadhi. And the second state of Samadhi is the higher state of Samadhi is Asampragnata Samadhi, where there will be no object of meditation. The focus of this Asampragnata Samadhi is to completely silence the mind. In Sampragnata Samadhi, the effort is to attain single-pointed absorption, or the absorption of the mind into the object of meditation. And finally, in Asampragnata Samadhi, no objects of meditation will be there, and it is a state where the mind has gone dead almost. Only the samskaras will remain. The definition will be given later. So this is the two major classification of Samadhi, Sampragnata and Asampragnata. Now again, Sampragnata also has four stages. The first stage of the first kind of Samadhi, the lower Samadhi, has also four stages. And for total beginners, that is those who do not carry forward any yogic samskaras from the previous janmas, Patanjali prescribes Abhyasa Vairagya and the Sampragnata Samadhi. One cannot directly silence the mind while sitting for meditation. It is impossible. So it is a graded practice. First Sampragnata Samadhi and then Asampragnata Samadhi. And even this Sampragnata Samadhi has four levels: Vitarka, Vichara, Ananda and Asmita. Vitarka, Vichara, Ananda, Asmita, Rupanugamat, Sampragnataha. This is a very interesting sutra. This is a very challenging sutra. And this sutra has many, many interpretations. The two major Vyasa's commentary is there. And the two major commentators to Vyasa's commentary, sub-commentators, Vijnana Bhikshu and Vachaspati Mishra, have lots of different ideas. Both of them differ from each other in discussing these four states. So it is revealed only by further deeper study. So I will try to present the essence of these four stages of Sampragnata Samadhi. Vyasa says Vitarka, the first step in Sampragnata Samadhi is Vitarka. Vitarka is defined as Chittasya Alambane Sthulaha Abhogaha. Abhogaha, the mind getting filled in the sthula, in the gross forms. Any gross forms, when the mind, any gross forms are taken for meditation, and if the mind gets filled in those forms, mind is full of only that, then it is vitarka state. For example, taking any object of meditation outside, any form of God, any other sthula forms, if the mind is completely filled with only that sthula form, the gross form of object which is taken up for meditation, then it becomes, and no other thoughts, only that remains. That is vitarka, the first stage. And vichara, sukshmaha vicharaha. So when the mind focuses on sukshma vastu, it is vichara. We know gross objects, it may be the form of God, any beautiful flower, anything, that is, we focus on that. That is vitarka. And then focusing the mind on sukshma vastu, subtle objects, and the mind being filled with only those subtle objects is vichara. Now, just there is a question, the meaning of the word abhoga. The question is, so abhoga means not distracted with other thoughts. Abhoga has been explained by both Vachaspati Mishra and Vijnana Bhikshu as Paripurnata, the mind being completely filled. Asamantat Bhogaha, the mind being completely occupied, being occupied in anything that is taken up for meditation, anything that is taken up for focusing. So that is the meaning of the word abhoga. So vitarka is sthula vastu and vichara is sukshma vastu. We know sthula vastus. What are the sukshma vastus? The subtle objects of meditation. That we know only by going to the commentary of Vyasa and other sub-commentators. sukshma vastus are the causes of these sthula objects. We see, we might have in the initial classes we spoke about the evolution of the world. So there are only two units, the Purusha and Prakriti, matter, the spirit and matter, Atma and the deepest form of matter, that is Prakriti, which is made up of three gunas, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. And from that Prakriti, Mahat comes into being. Even the evolution starts from Prakriti, the Mahat comes into being. Mahat, I think I have mentioned earlier, is the cosmic mind, or sometimes called as Hiranyagarbha, Chaturmukha Brahma. Mahat principle is created, and then Ahankara is created, that state of creation where the creation starts multiplying. From where the creation starts multiplying, that is Ahankara. And then, so Prakriti, Mahat, Ahankara, and then from that we have the Pancha Tanmatras, the subtle parts of the Pancha Mahabhutas, and then from those Pancha Mahabhutas, from the Ahankara, the senses, the Pancha Indriyas are also born, and then from those Pancha Tanmatras, the Pancha Mahabhutas, the five elements, fire, water, air, space, all those are born, and then from those the gross world that we see emerges. So the Indriyas, till the Indriyas, that is the Bhautika Sharira, the Bhautika world, which is made up of the Panchamahabhutas, and the Panchamahabhutas and the Indriyas, all these come under the gross objects, and all the objects below this, according to yoga system, are subtle. The Pancha Tanmatras, the Ahankara, the Mahat, Prakriti, all these are the Sukshma Vastus. So by Vitarka we spoke about the gross objects, the five elements, the senses, and all the objects that are created by the combination of five elements, Bhautika Vastus, comes under Vitarka. And all that is not directly perceivable and which are very subtle, like Ahankara, Mahat, Tanmatras, all these come under, all these are the objects which are called as Sukshma. So focusing the mind on these objects is Vichara, and then the third state in Sampragnata is Ananda. Vyasa simply says Anandaha Khladaha. Ananda is happiness. It is almost, the commentary of Vyasa is almost like a sutra. So again we go into the sub commentators. Again there is a difference of opinion. I will not go into that now. For an initial understanding, Ananda is the happiness. By the practice of Vitarka and Vichara, Sattva Utkarsha, Sattvic state of mind, or an upsurge of Sattva is experienced in the mind. And when there is Sattva, there is happiness. And focusing upon this happiness is the third state, that is Ananda. And Asmita is the next stage, where even the one who is experiencing this happiness is separated from the experience itself, and only the self is focused upon. That is Asmita, only Aham Asmi, I exist. So that aspect is focused upon in the fourth level, that is Asmita. So four levels of Samadhi. So And the commentator Vyasa further says that a person begins with vitarka, goes to vichara, and then moves to ananda, and finally he attains focus in asmita. So if one starts from vitarka and goes till asmita, it is vitarka sampragnata samadhi. But if one starts from vichara state, his mind is so evolved that he can directly start focusing upon the sukshma objects, the subtle objects, then vichara, ananda and asmita remain. Then he moves from vichara to ananda, ananda to asmita. So that becomes vichara sampragnata samadhi. And ananda sampragnata samadhi is that where he directly begins to experience the sattvotkarsha as he is already refined, already in a state of sattvotkarsha always. And then he moves into asmita. And finally, asmita is a yogi who can directly feel that I exist, who can directly focus his mind upon the Purusha, the Atma. That is asmita samadhi. So, vitarka sampragnata samadhi, vichara sampragnata samadhi, ananda sampragnata samadhi and asmita sampragnata samadhi. So, vitarka itself is not a samadhi. So, beginning with vitarka, one has to move till asmita. That becomes vitarka samadhi. So, this difference has to be noted, because vitarka in itself is not samadhi. And so, this is the way it has been presented by Vyasa. So, these are the four stages in samadhi, sampragnata samadhi. And now, asampragnata samadhi. So, here we saw the gradual reduction in the vitarka samadhi. We saw the gradual reduction or the gradual refinement of thought, refinement of the number of vrittis and the quality of the vrittis in sampragnata samadhi. Still, vritti exists. Still thought about the Purusha or the Atma exists in sampragnata samadhi. So as I mentioned earlier, this sampragnata samadhi is all based on or supported by chitta vrittis. Whereas in the asampragnata samadhi, virama pratyaya abhyasa purvaha samskara sheshaha anyaha. That is the 18th sutra. Anyaha, the other samadhi. Sampragnata samadhi was discussed. Other samadhi is virama pratyaya abhyasa purvaha. The other samadhi is attained by the practice abhyasa of virama pratyaya. Virama. Virama is rest. Virama is cessation. Cessation of what? Cessation of thoughts. Virama pratyaya. That is with the notion. Pratyaya, notion, with the notion that I will not entertain any more thoughts in my mind. That has to be practiced. And then that is and the state of no vrittis is attained. That is asampragnata samadhi. Now, there will be a question here. How do I practice that there will be no vrittis in my mind? So, if I keep thinking that there should be no vrittis in my mind, there should be no vrittis in my mind, that itself becomes a vritti. And hence, this asampragnata state is not achieved. So, the commentators say, the goal of achieving nil vrittis, the abhyasa, is not repeating the notion that there should be no vrittis. It is rather by the paravairagya, intensifying the vairagya. That is the abhyasa to attain this vrittiless state called asampragnata. So that's why virama pratyaya has been interpreted in other way also. Pratyaya means karana. Virama karanam, the cause for cessation of the thoughts, is paravairagya. So we see here that aparavairagya helps sampragnata samadhi, whereas it is paravairagya alone, the state of detachment even in the operations of the gunas, that is the one which propels us to this state of vrittiless experience, vrittiless existence, as if the mind is dead. This is asampragnata samadhi. The mind may be vrittiless. The mind might not have any vrittis, but samskara sheshaha, the past impressions will still remain. So, this is asampragnata samadhi. Of course, based on this past impression, this asampragnata samadhi will later be classified as sabija and nirbija. We will discuss that later. I am just mentioning it. So, why to mention about samskaras here? It is the thoughts, it is the surface, it is like the waves are at rest. The waves are not there, but the undercurrent remains. The undercurrent is the samskara and the waves are like vrittis. It is not enough to attain only the placidity of the waves. One should be very careful about the undercurrents also. If there is an upsurge of undercurrents, waves can burst forth any time, and hence even asampragnata state is also a very slippery state. That asampragnata state with the existence of samskara is sabija, and nirbija is even that undercurrent is stilled. That is nirbija, and there is no return from after reaching that state. So this aspect we will discuss in detail at a later stage. Since it came to my mind, I presented it here. So these are the first two states of samadhi, sampragnata and asampragnata. So, and then even this asampragnata samadhi is divided by Vyasa as bhava pratyaya and videha pratyaya. Asampragnata, these are the classification of asampragnata samadhi. Patanjali classifies asampragnata samadhi as bhava pratyaya and upaya pratyaya. Bhava pratyaya, the term pratyaya here should be understood as cause. Pratyaya does not mean thought. Of course, elsewhere in different contexts in the Yoga Sutra, the term pratyaya is used to indicate thoughts. Pratyaya is sometimes used as a substitute, as a synonym to vritti, the modifications of the mind. But here in this sutra, pratyaya, even in the previous sutra, sometimes pratyaya is virama pratyaya, is interpreted in both ways. Pratyaya vritti, pratyaya karanam, the cause. It is interpreted both ways also. But in this sutra, bhava pratyaya and upaya pratyaya, the term pratyaya has been very clearly stated as karanam. So bhavaha karanam. Bhava is janma. So by the birth is the cause. for asampragnata samadhi. So that asampragnata samadhi which is attained by birth, that is bhava pratyaya, and bhava pratyaya asampragnata samadhi, and upaya pratyaya is that asampragnata samadhi, the cause of which is a set of upayas, a set of methods, that becomes upaya pratyaya asampragnata samadhi. So asampragnata samadhi is of two types. Asampragnata samadhi is sometimes achieved by birth, and mostly it is achieved by practicing upayas, and those upayas are presented from Sutra 20 to 22. 19th Sutra discusses presents about bhava pratyaya, and 20 to 22 discuss upaya pratyaya. So bhava pratyaya, you might have guessed, by birth. By birth, some yogis attain asampragnata samadhi. Bhava pratyayo videha prakriti layanam. How is it that by birth people attain asampragnata samadhi? It is by their sadhana in the previous birth. It comes naturally. Asampragnata samadhi comes naturally to them. Purvadhyasena tenaiva hriyate shavashopi saha. This is again from Bhagavad Gita. So the impressions or the impact of the previous janmas are felt in this birth. So they are bhava pratyayas. They are further divided into videha and prakriti laya. If I go into that detail, it will again take the entire session. So you can read up about videhas and prakriti layas. So those yogis who attain asampragnata samadhi by birth, they are bhava pratyayas and upaya pratyayas. So for others, by birth we have not attained asampragnata samadhi, then how do I scale that height of asampragnata samadhi? Yes, the yoga sutras abound in various methods. Already adhyasa and vairagya have been presented, and now certain upayas are lined up by Patanjali here. So if I don't attain asampragnata samadhi, if I simply sit and want to quieten the mind but I am unable, then I can understand that I should take up this method of upaya pratyaya. So what are all the upayas that are presented by Patanjali lined up here are Shraddha, Virya, Smriti, Samadhi, Prajna Purvaka Itaresham. So those who do not attain asampragnata samadhi by birth, they should nurture these qualities by which they will be gradually led into asampragnata samadhi. Shraddha. Shraddha is a deep faith that yes, yoga is the one which is going to lead me to the higher realms of my existence, lead me into the realization of higher realms of my existence. I am not mere body. I am not mere mind. I am the Purusha. I am the Atma. So I should know it. A deep conviction, a deep sense of faith to know the higher. That is Shraddha. Sahi janani iva kalyani yoginam pati. Vyasa is very profuse in describing this Shraddha. Shraddha is like the mother. This is at the root. This is Shraddha is fundamental. That basic faith or conviction to scale the heights of samadhi, that is essential. And it is this abiding faith and conviction which will protect a yogi. He will keep him steadfast in the path of yoga, because yoga is beset with lot of obstacles, And to overcome that, this foundation stone of Shraddha is essential. That's why, and it is like a mother that takes care of a child. When the child is upset or crying, it is the one which consoles a child. So, similarly, it is the Shraddha that keeps a yogi in track towards the goal of yoga. And hence, Shraddha comes first, and then Viryam. Viryam is the effort, a sense of energy he achieves. Oh, now I have deep faith. Now let me plunge into the path of yoga. So, Shraddha gives Viryam, strength to launch oneself into the practice. Shraddha, Virya, and then Smriti. And then Smriti is the memory. Memory of the teachings. The memory of the teachings of the Guru and the memory of the scriptures that one has studied. So, it is at this stage, it is very important here that only when supported by Shraddha and Virya, the right teachings of the teachers come to the mind, which will aid the practice of a yogi. So, lots of things will be heard, but the implementation of those comes when we have that energy supported by Shraddha. So, that is Patanjali's view here. Shraddha, Virya, Smriti, Samadhi. And then, by the teachings, we are guided to the state of Samadhi. And by the Samadhi, that is, the mind becomes focused, absorbed, the thoughts, distractions are reduced, focus is gained. And then, Prajna, clarity, clear knowledge that Prakriti is different from Purusha, that emerges after Samadhi. So, these are the Upayas, Shraddha, Viryam, Smritihi, and Samadhihi. So, by these Upayas, Asampragnata Samadhi is attained. So, this classification of Bhava Pratyaya and Upaya Pratyaya is presented after classifying Samadhi into Sampragnata and Asampragnata. So, the first classification of Samadhi is Sampragnata and Asampragnata, and the second classification is the classification of Asampragnata Samadhi into Bhava Pratyaya and Upaya Pratyaya. It is to be noted that for Sampragnata Samadhi, Vitarka, Vichara, Ananda, Asmita have been presented, the levels have been presented, and for Upaya and for Asampragnata Samadhi, Shraddha, Virya, Smriti and Samadhi have been presented. This does not mean that Sampragnata Samadhi does not require Shraddha, Virya, Smriti and Samadhi and Prajna. So, this are also prerequisite for Sampragnata Samadhi even. So, these two classifications we have seen, that is discussed between the sutras 17 and 22. This is unit 3. And one point. Mrudu Madhya Adhimatra Prayatnaha. So, the Upaya, again one point I missed in the unit 3 is the kind of effort that needs to be put in to reach Asampragnata Samadhi. This point has already been mentioned in a different way. The practice has to be long term, the practice has to be regular and with faith. That was mentioned earlier and it is presented in a different light here. Now there might be a question. Shraddha, Virya, Smriti, Samadhi and Prajna. So all these are the upayas or the methods to attain asampragnata samadhi. So how quickly can I attain this asampragnata samadhi? In a day or two or three? How? To this, Patanjali says, it depends upon the intensity of the practice. It may be achieved in an hour or it may take lifetime. So what is the factor that determines the duration in which the samadhi, asampragnata samadhi, is attained? It is the intensity of practice. Mrudu, madhya, adhimatra. If my shraddha is mild, mrudu, virya will also be mild. Smriti will also be mild. When all these are mild, I am not sure whether samadhi will be attained. So, mrudu prayatna, soft or mild prayatnas. And then, madhyama prayatna, intermediate prayatna. Increased intensity, but not enough. And adhimatra prayatna, intense focus, intense shraddha, intense virya, intense smriti will certainly lead to samadhi and prajna. So, by providing this classification of mrudu, madhya and adhimatra, Vyasa Patanjali beautifully brings out the fact that the tools are here. How intensely we are going to use it, that will determine the achievement of the goal at its earliest. So, will it be achieved quickly or will it be achieved later, asampragnata samadhi? It entirely rests on the intensity of the practice that we are ready to put in. Actually, the classification goes further. Each of these mrudu, madhya and adhimatra are further classified into mrudu, madhya and adhimatra, which means the mrudu prayatna is divided into mrudu mrudu, mrudu madhya, mrudu adhimatra. Similarly, madhya prayatna is also classified into madhya mrudu, madhya madhya and madhya adhimatra. And even that adhimatra, intense practice, is further divided into adhimatra mrudu, adhimatra madhya and adhimatra adhimatra. The point again here is, I am not sure whether there is a madhya mrudu or adhimatra mrudu or any other thing. But the point that Patanjali tries to bring out here is adhimatra adhimatra. If the intensity is the topmost, if the intensity is the highest, then the goal is also achieved at the earliest. So that is the point that is being stressed. By even subdividing these mrudu, madhya and adhimatra into three. So that is the point to be taken. So the prayatna should be adhimatra, adhimatra, intensive, intensive. Then samadhi is achieved at the earliest, asampragnata samadhi. So this is the third unit. And the fourth unit is entirely different in the sense that to attain this sampragnata and asampragnata yoga, we may either practice all these vitarka, vichara, ananda, asmita, and again from sampragnata we can move into asampragnata by using the tools shraddha, virya, smriti and other things, or else we can take up Ishvara Pranidhanam. This is an alternative tool that Patanjali brings to attain the goals of yoga. Ishvara Pranidhanadva, or by having a great devotion to Ishvara. Now when he mentions this Ishvara Pranidhana, it is not simply worshipping the God in temple or other things. Whereas this Ishvara Pranidhana, the yogic worship of Ishvara, the yogic devotion to Ishvara is also discussed in detail. He gives a lot of sutras to discuss Ishvara Pranidhana, how to practice it, and the outcomes in about 10 sutras from Sutra 23 to 32. So this is the introduction about the fourth unit, and we will discuss about Ishvara Pranidhana and of course the Yoga Antarayas, the obstacles in the path of yoga. Now the goal of yoga was mentioned, some of the tools of yoga, some of the methods of yoga are being mentioned. When these are mentioned, of course we are bound to face difficulties, obstacles, bottlenecks. That also needs to be taken into account. When those bottlenecks come, how to tackle them? So that is also presented along with Ishvara Pranidhana. Ishvara Pranidhana is mentioned, presented as one solution to tackle all the obstacles. So in that context, obstacles of yoga is presented while discussing Ishvara Pranidhana. So with this introductory words on Ishvara Pranidhana, I stop this class, today's class. Are there any questions? Right. The slide, there is a in the one of the previous slides. Sorry. In the previous slide, Vitarka Vichara Ananda. It is not Ananda. It is a typographical error. It is Ananda. Yes, that's my typing error. And then that was one of the questions. Okay. Question from Mr. Paul. He says, how do you see Abhyasa Purvaha? Is that Upaya Pratyaya? Virama Pratyaya Abhyasa Purvaha Asampragnata Samadhi is a state that has a Purva, that has a prerequisite. So, Asampragnata Samadhi is a state which has Purva, a prerequisite. What is that prerequisite? The prerequisite is Virama Pratyaya Abhyasa. So, the prerequisite to attain Asampragnata Samadhi is the practice of Virama Pratyaya. Virama Pratyaya, I interpreted in two ways based on the commentaries. Virama Pratyaya, the goal, that Virama, total cessation of what? Pratyaya, vrittis. So, by the practice of total cessation of vrittis, that Asampragnata Samadhi, this is the prerequisite to attain that Asampragnata Samadhi. Now the question comes, how to practice total cessation of vrittis? For that, the commentators prescribe paravairagya, the higher vairagya. That is, by intensifying the vairagya from apara state to the para state, naturally, all thoughts, all vrittis cease. So, this is the prerequisite practice. So, intensification of vairagya from the lower to the higher state is the prerequisite. So, is the activity that needs to be done. Intensification of vairagya is what needs to be done, and it naturally results in Asampragnata Samadhi. Now, there is a question of all practices, which is the simple practice to start with. All the practices that are discussed in the Samadhi Pada are for for at a higher level, in the sense that is my understanding. So because all the higher evolved minds, they have already some kind of a samskara, so that they can directly launch into abhyasa and vairagya. Abhyasa is not understood by the term translation practice. As we saw, abhyasa here in the yogic context is the effort to maintain the steady state of mind on the object of focus. So hence, this abhyasa is not something physical. It is a higher evolved practice. So, where to begin with, that is better discussed in the sadhana pada, where we have very simple, very easy stepping stones, which will help us start our voyage of yoga. So I request your patience in to come to the sadhana pada, where we have simpler practices to start with, like kriya yoga, ashtanga yoga. All those are practices from where we can start. But if on reflection we find ourselves eligible to take up any of the tools that are mentioned here, it depends upon the previous samskaras of each and every individual to start wherever one can start. Okay. How would we apply all these learnings in a busy corporate life is another question. That is an interesting question. The application of all these ideas directly into the busy corporate life can happen by reflecting on the relevance of these ideas in any given situation. That's what I understand. I do not know much about all those tensions of the day-to-day, because I am in teaching and in the learning activity. So I am not very aware of the tensions of a corporate life. Directly, I have not perceived it. So, but still, I feel when these thoughts keep ringing in the mind, they themselves will show their relevance. As we have seen in one of the sutras, Shraddha, Virya, Smriti, the learning itself will lead to its application at the right time. When we have the Shraddha and when we have the Smriti, then naturally the right kind of input will manifest itself when the situation demands, and it is subjective. And it depends on every individual who tries to apply, depending upon his situation. So, the way in which I may apply it in my day-to-day life may be different from the way in which the other person may use or employ or deploy these methods. Okay. And the other question is, how should one cultivate willpower and self-control? What is the definition of vairagya? Vairagya has already been discussed, and in the third or the fourth class, you will have it in the recording. It is simply cultivating a attitude of detachment from worldly happiness, because as long as we are clinging to the worldly happiness, we may not be able to focus on the true fountain of happiness, that is the Purusha. So it is not, yoga does not prescribe moving away from all kinds of happiness. It is not a kind of neutral state, but it leads us to the fountain of happiness. So, and how to cultivate willpower and self-control? Yes, willpower and self-control, we again, being mindful, I feel that will help to cultivate. And in the later sadhana pada, we have certain practices under asana and pranayama. See, we should always have the notion, yes, I should have better willpower, I should have better self-control. That notion should always be there, but their manifestation in action can be supplemented, can be supported by the practice of asana and pranayama. Asana will help to gain good control over the body, whereas pranayama will help us relax and will also help us gain control over the mind. In the sense, a horse, a wild horse, we cannot ride it directly. It should be reined. Only then we can ride it. Similarly, pranayama is like a rein on the wild horse called the mind. So, by that, we can gain better control. So, at the beginning stages, willpower and self-control can effectively be cultivated by gradually practicing asana and pranayama with a goal to cultivate willpower and self-control, because pranayama and asana have many, many benefits at different levels, and it will also give this benefit. In the later Yoga Sutra, you will get to know that by the practice of asana, what is achieved is tato dvandva anabhigataha. One is not bothered by the pair of opposites, sukha, dukha, shitam, ushnam. So all those pair of opposites, it does not bother a person who has a very good practice of asana. That is what Patanjali even says. And hence, asana and pranayama, according to Patanjali, are very good tools to practice willpower and self-control. I think there are very interesting questions. These are some of the interesting questions that we had. So, we will end the session. There is one more question, but we are already past the time, and I will take up that question. And the further questions to the later class. I will of course address the other questions in the next class, and there are even a couple of observations. I will note them down and then present those thoughts in the next class in the next week. So we will conclude the session here with the mantra, with the shloka. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjali ranatosmi. Dhanyavadaha.